Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hello. Hi, how's it going?
That's what you're going with.
What?
You've got...
What do you want me to say?
You've got tomorrow's NXT.
I've got tomorrow's NXT.
And you've got Saturday's...
Weekend Ramble.
Weekend Ramble. And then you've got Monday's Stomping Ground review.
Oh, I do, don't I? Yeah,
I only remembered that as I was saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, forgot about that one. Yeah.
So you need like a... Although that will be a special, so I guess you don't have to do an intro, outro for the podcast.
That's true, yeah.
But you've got nothing for the catchphrases.
I don't need catchphrases. I'm such a charming personality that I can get over without catchphrases, Ollie. God.
What you could do is put on a horrendously annoying voice and roll every single R in a word.
Are you referring to Randy Andy?
I don't know who I'm referring to, Pete.
Referring.
Now I'm... X-Factor voiceover guy, Rachel Adedonji.
So yes, we have received a lot of complaints.
We have.
About Andy's super chat producing yesterday. I don't know what happened.
No, it was
he suddenly
something.
It was we had no idea he was doing it. Like
no,
he was going to do
at
it.
All. No.
I just thought, oh, Andy sat down. Here's to another fun Wrestle Ramble. And he just started to present everything in a very over-the-top, annoying, grating... And that would have been fine for, like, the first few.
Yeah.
But he kept it up, I mean, for an accumulative 25 minutes. And it got to the
it's
point
almost
where...
almost impressive.
I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah.
He rolled every R. but yes, I've spoken to him. He won't be doing that again. We had a lot of negative correspondence.
He came in the office this morning. First thing he said to me was like, all positive feedback about my voice that I did on the Rumble. He knew, obviously.
Yes,
he'd seen the comments.
I told him to look at the comments.
Yeah.
Because when he got in and I was like, have you seen the comments on yesterday's video?
Yeah.
And he was like, no. I said, they're all negative about your voice. Like, they're not even talking about the Stomping Ground being
no,
in trouble.
Exactly, no. It was the point of the video, Randall.
Yeah.
I will take partial blame for him doing that voice, though. I think it might have been me that not told him to do the voice, of course, but I did mention to him at one point, I was like, there's sometimes when you read questions, you're a bit quiet.
Yeah.
So you should pick up your voice a little bit, because sometimes it's hard, especially for podcast listeners, to hear what you're trying to say on the podcast, because sometimes you kind of tail off when you're reading questions. So I told him to, maybe something, can you just pick up your voice at the end when you're reading questions? I don't know how he took that to mean I should roll my R's and do a presenting voice, but yeah. So I'll take 5% of the blame for that.
I'll give you 10%.
10%.
We'll stick at 10.
Okay.
You're a terrible
fine.
Negotiator.
I know, yeah.
the problem was, like, I could see this because he was annoying us, but we can't live then say, Andy, can you stop doing that voice, please?
Are you saying we can't just say, shut up, Randy?
Yeah, because, I mean, Luke usually does.
Yeah, he does.
But I don't tend to like to do that,
no,
you know, in front of everyone. And I thought there was a bit of, in the back of my head going, but he'll stop soon, right? kill stuff eventually.
Public burial.
Because
of
this
Randy
is a 90-minute show. Yeah. There's no way he can do it all. Yeah. But he did.
He did.
And then, yeah, I did have to say to him at one point, stop rolling the R's. I can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But he just carried on with the presenter voice.
Just carried on.
So, yes, we've fixed that going forward.
We have.
And structurally, we're going to move. So we're only going to do 5 minutes of Super Chats mm-hmm. after the first discussion point, and then we're cool. going to do all of the Super Chats at the end.
Nice.
Because that's just, if you just want to listen to the review portion, you won't have like a 15-minute chunk in the middle that you have to get annoyed by.
That sounds good. Like that. So let's get into some emails before we get into the show. Mm. We've got one. I'll save that one for the NXT one because it's more about Laurie. So we've got a follow-up. From Wacky Crespo, who I did on one of the...
Yeah.
I think it was either the Raw or the SD one last week. And we said that Wacky was definitely not his first name. So he's emailed in again and said, Hi, Pete, Ollie, Laurie, Simon, who I forgot, Luke still doing his Peru things, and... Why does everyone say hi to Andy in all of my emails?
Just say not... Just and say they, not and, to Randy.
And
Andy,
name
it.
Redacted. I sent...
And? Screw you, Blake Ham.
And screw you, Blake Ham. There was no Blake Ham in this one, unfortunately.
Has he got back in touch?
I feel like he might have.
Because
I don't have it on me right now, but I'll have a check.
Cool. I just don't want to cyber bully by accident. It's all meant in good faith.
Oh, no. I thought we did it on the last
There
ramble.
Was one, but it was a vague emoji.
Oh, no.
Like, I didn't know if he was joshing.
He's emailed after that.
Oh.
Yeah, he has.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, okay. I'll see if I can find it for the outro then, and we'll talk about it then.
Cool.
Wacky Crespo sends in and says, I send this email to say that, yes, my actual name is not Wacky. That's a nickname I've had since I was 10. It literally means nothing, and nobody remembers why it was given to me. Also, I want to say that you guys reading my message brought me so much joy, and let's say not the best of times. So much that I finally decided that it's time to lose weight, something I have been pushing back for some time. I currently stand at 6'1", 216 pounds, that's 185 centimeters,
this
and
is where
98
we need.
Kilos.
This is where we need the announcer voice. Weighing in!
At 98 kilos. This September, I will go on Erasmus program to Utrecht in the Netherlands.
Yeah, Erasmus maybe? Is an exchange, international university exchange program.
That I did know. The Utrecht I haven't heard of in Netherlands. But he's going from September until February next year. So I intend to drop to 180 pounds or 82 kilos by the time I come back. By that time, I'll start training wrestling under the A-Kid, that guy with the five stars against Zack Sabre Jr. And Will Ospreay recently. This weekend, he will be facing Pete Dunne. I know that training will be hard while I study a joint degree in journalism and international relations 2 hours from home every day, but I will try my best.
Got to travel 2 hours.
2 hours from home every day to do his joint degree in journalism and international relations. Much love to you guys, and specifically you, Pete. You are such an inspiration.
Aww.
That's very nice. Well, thank you very much, Wacky Crespo.
Let's not lose sight of the guy who made it all happen for Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, which is...
Let's not give Pete all the credit.
All right, Shane. Celebrating yourself constantly.
Yeah, with no WrestleTalk news today, folks, we've got an Ollie Davis celebration segment.
Ollie Davis celebration segment,
with all my goons.
But thank you very much for your correspondence, Wacky, and I hope you hope that goes well with your weight loss.
Yeah, knock it out of the park.
Go for it, man.
Generic motivational phrases. Hang in there, kid.
We've got. I will save this one for the outro. Should we just get into the show now?
I got an email yesterday that made my heart skip a beat.
Okay.
From Luke Owen.
Oh no! Really?
Well, I showed you the video.
Oh yeah, but, that one.
So the time difference is way off. So this was probably early morning for him, but for us it was 7 PM in the evening, as PM tends to be. And I haven't heard from him for like 10 days.
Yeah.
And sometimes I take for granted how much I see Luke.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, we've been getting along okay, actually, workload-wise, without Luke. But when his name popped up on my email, you know when you really, really are into a girl or someone you fancy at school or something, and you're just, You're just hanging on there. When you get a message from them, mm-hmm. even though it's not romantically involved,
yep.
your heart just jumps out your mouth.
Yep.
That happened to me yesterday when this email came through. I was like, oh, Luke, they got a message! And just like, hey, boss, greetings from Peru. Currently having a beer after coming down from Machu Picchu.
Ugh.
Or Machu Pikachu!
Oh, my God.
The four-day trek was effing tough.
Yeah.
I've attached a video intro we recorded from the site if you want to use it. And that's on today's WrestleTalk news.
That is.
Of them all saying, support WrestleTalk from... just in front of Machu Picchu. And then there's no attachment.
Ah, nice.
And then there's another email 2 minutes after. I'll send it when I'm on better Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Which was 7 hours later.
Oh, wow.
At 20 past two in the morning. So, yeah. So, yeah, if you miss Luke, either head over to the YouTube channel and watch mm-hmm. today's news, because it's got a little video with him. Or just watch the live Wrestle Ramble video, because someone's mocked up a picture of Luke on a llama, which we're using as our background today.
And it also says Yowie Wowie on it.
Yeah, and can you see the Fiend in the background?
Yeah, Fiend's chilling. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming this is also a character from Firefly Funhouse, the llama itself.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't got a name
Larry.
For it yet. Larry yeah. the llama, of course.
It was Bray Wyatt's NXT developmental phase.
Of course, yeah. But anyway, let's get into the show. We're going to be reviewing SmackDown. And did Alexa Bliss just shoot on Bayley?
Pew pew.
Pew pew. Here's the show.
Alexa Bliss and Bayley in a moment of bliss segment was good.
What?
Yeah.
It was great. I'd say it was even better
yes.
than good.
Best thing on the show.
Easily. Best thing on the show. Well, easily. It was the best thing on the show. I saw Moment of Bliss with Bayley tonight, and I went, oh, for God's sake, you've got to be kidding me. Why? Why are they doing this again? They've had so many segments with Alexa Bliss and Bayley that have just failed. And I was like, and they're going to have Nikki Cross there. It's going to be awful. But no, it was great. Started off with Alexa Bliss coming out and continuing her feud with coffee, I guess.
Yeah. People who bring her coffee. The people
mugs?
Who have the mugs. Yeah.
It's very strange. Not a great start to it. But then she said, where's my coffee? And Bayley came out carrying coffee. And I was like, right, that's going to set the tone for this segment. Then this is going to be awful. But it picked up. So it started off with Bliss saying that, never said anything mean about you, Cross, on Twitter. Don't worry, I'm not mean. And Bliss was like, yeah, you are. I was like, right, cool. Yeah, this stuff still. But then, Alexa starts firing up. She cuts like a pretty much a shoot promo on Bayley, calls her out for a time in NXT. And Bliss was saying how she felt worthless and people made her feel like she didn't belong in NXT. And everyone in the locker room was against her. And she turned to Bayley, who was the nice one in the locker room. And she still made her feel worthless. The only one who gave her any time of day was Charlotte. Just name dropped out of nowhere. And then, considering that, you know, didn't really lead to anything in this show, that makes it feel very shooty. You're just name-dropping out of nowhere.
It was a wonderful detail for realism.
It was a really good
yeah.
detail. Yeah, really good detail for it. And then she says that Bayley's not a hugger. She's a liar. And it was like, oh, is there some sort of, like, truth to this? I kind of took myself back for a second. I was like, oh, because we know there's been a bit of tension between Bliss and Banks from long ago, the two constantly around it on Twitter and blocking each other and God knows what else. So I don't know whether Bayley was kind of part or like associated with that back in the day or something that just got me thinking about it. And then they just carried on it. It just kept going up with like the intensity in this promo because Bayley started firing back saying that she's manipulated Nia Jax. She's manipulated Mickie James. She'd never lie to her. She just can't handle the truth. And the truth is that she's not a goddess. She's an entitled princess who doesn't deserve a damn thing. And I was like, okay, this is going somewhere. This is great. And then Alexa fires back again and she goes, no, I'm not entitled. I'm just better than you, Bayley.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's such a good line. And these are really well-delivered lines as well. The content's great. The promos are great. And then Alexa came back and said that, and then Bayley comes back again saying that Alexa just grabs onto anyone that's there, but Bayley's never had to rely on anyone. And then Alexa comes back with a great line saying that she's just a placeholder because she peaked in NXT.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that hits me right in the feels.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Because, yeah, so much of it was tied to real-life situations mm-hmm. and stuff that has been rumoured. Like, these aren't just kayfabe workings with people blocking people on Twitter. The rumour is that there is some source of genuine backstage tension between Bliss and Sasha Banks. Mm-hmm. Sasha Banks and Bayley are obviously very good friends. There are ways that this could be real.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I think it's just in a world of WWE where everything feels so scripted, when you just have someone brilliantly delivering lines, it feels... It feels like a shoot.
Absolutely.
Like it is real. So it's definitely a work shoot in my opinion. But that last line where you peaked in NXT, mm-hmm. that was such a great heel line mm-hmm. because, like you said, it hit us fans, Bayley's fans in particular, right in the feels. Mm. And she followed it up with, "You're just jealous of me because I've had the career that you always wanted," to Bayley. And I like
so good.
And I thought, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, it was always Alexa getting these pushes mm-hmm. when Bayley was the chosen one in NXT. And it's kind of like how the main roster differs from developmental. In developmental, it's all the geeks and the people mm-hmm. who love wrestling who get over and mm-hmm. get the pushes. But on the main roster, it's really the pretty people.
Yeah.
Like Roman Reigns is pushed mostly on his look.
Yep.
A lot of the women are pushed mostly on their look. Alexa is part of that blonde women like division that Vince really likes and yep. pushes more than other people who don't fit what his mode of pretty is.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, this was an excellent, excellent promo that didn't start out good, but it just got very good near the end. And Bliss and Bayley has now gone to one of my most anticipated matches this weekend.
See, that's in it. That's where we differ, because I thought this was a fantastic promo. And I was like, this is really intense. This is great stuff. Then afterwards, after they got really intense and Alexa delivered that line, like you said, of just like, "I'm having the career that you always wanted," they started brawling, which was another nice touch. I was like, yeah, awesome. Great. The tension's bubbled over. Bayley hits her with a forearm and they start brawling a little bit. Nikki Cross comes in, pulls Bayley off Alexa, says, "No, get off her." And then Bliss punches Bayley, lays her out. And then Cross looks a little bit like, ooh, conflicted. And then the two of them walk away. And then I just kind of came back down again and I was like, God, this could have been such a good feud. But this was too little too late. Because this feud, if it was just Bliss versus Bayley, and this was the promo they had to kickstart their feud,
yeah,
this could have been amazing. This could have been a top-notch feud of the year if this is where they started and built from it. But this as a go-home angle is good. But then you've got the whole Nikki Cross storyline. And I kind of came down from the high I was on from the promo just being like, oh, they've got all the Nikki Cross stuff that they've just been doing for ages. And I just had a massive calm down off it. But I still don't care. Like, it's still really bad. Like, the whole Nikki Cross thing just completely marred it for me. Nothing against Nikki at all.
Mm.
But just it just reminded me of all the story that they told so far for it. And as great as the promo was, I still left the end of it just being like, oh, I want to care, I just don't.
That is the problem that Alexa and Nikki Cross storyline is, for me, fundamentally, the worst told story in the company.
Yeah.
Just because it's the cat, that's not their characters.
Mm.
And there's enough there. There's enough material there with Bayley and Bliss, as we saw in their one-on-one thing, really, in the Moment of Bliss segment, for them to just have a feud based on not liking each other.
Mm-hmm.
And WWE are overbooking it with, oh, but Alexa's got a birdie. And we spoke about it last week. This obviously wasn't the original plan. The original plan was for Alexa and Nikki to go for the women's tag titles. But for whatever reason, they said, no, this Raw star Alexa's going to go for the SmackDown women's title sometime after Money in the Bank, mm-hmm. I guess it was. So yeah, I get what you're saying. And the Nikki Cross thing is an unfortunate addendum to this feud.
Mm.
But I'm just happy for these two for finally making something work. Because
yeah,
it is widely
true.
Attributed to Alexa Bliss's This Is Your Life segment
yeah.
that killed Bayley.
Yeah.
that killed Bayley 2 years ago. One of the worst segments in recent WWE history, up there with the old day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a painfully unfunny, overlong segment that genuinely destroyed and derailed a character.
Yep.
And Bayley never recovered.
No. Nope.
And she wasn't super over, but that's what dropped her off the momentum cliff. But yeah, other than that, I am looking forward to their match. But maybe that's more of an indictment of the rest of the Stomping Grounds card.
That's true, yeah. I think I'm probably looking forward to this match more than most others, but I think that's probably because the bar's so low anyway. Mm. But yeah, this was a very refreshing segment to not have, because this felt like it wasn't that scripted.
Mm.
Granted, it was one person talks, one person talks, one person talks, one person talks, but it was like one line, one line, one line, rather than 2 minutes of promo, 2 minutes of promo, 2 minutes of promo. So this felt much more snappy, and it felt more real for them to just insult one another, just line, 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 line. It felt chaotic and it felt unscripted.
Mm.
Granted, it still was, but it was refreshing to not have a 15-minute Shane McMahon promo celebrating himself. Well, I mean, we got that later anyway, but this felt nice. This felt refreshing and this felt new. And it was great, as you said, for Bayley and Bliss together to have something that works. This felt great because I was expecting nothing out of this segment. And to have them come out of it being like, that was great, is such a nice feeling to have.
And it's because Alexa is such a good promo.
Oh, yeah.
She's really good at acting. But for whatever reason this year, just hasn't worked at all. So I'm glad it's kicking off.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sorry.
taken. We've got to do our Patreon shout outs now. Thank you very much to the $25 a month or more Patreons. Let's have a drink. Christopher Travis Merriman.
Whee!
Pops. Scott Howard the Duck.
Praise him, Jonathan Priestan.
Priestan. Big Balls Billy Buner.
Buena.
I can't even read that from here. Crinius the Killer Clown.
Whoa.
Damian Wayne Wilson Fisk.
All of the comic book names. Tantalizing Travis Manctalo.
He's so tantalizing.
Manctalo. King of Super Chat, Jay-Z.
He's certainly up
not
there.
Not Super Chat.
Not that one.
Shimmy Gang Got, Zachary Robert Crowley Barros.
That is a long name. Love it.
Boom, boom. Cult Sample.
Yeah.
Very nice, very nice. Duncan. Just Duncan.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
And finally, Butter Me Up, Søren Nord.
Woo! Yes. Thank you very much. Let's go over to Andy Randy.
Andy Randy Datsun.
Andy Randyson.
Andy Randerson.
Andy Randerson.
With
Randerson
and Gallows. Super Chats.
I was just about to say, are you going to mention that if you've got Luke on a lava at all? And also, it's amazing. No one can spell Bailey.
Wow.
How are they spelling it?
B-A-L-E-Y, B-A-I-L-E-Y, B-A-L-Y, B-A-I-L-Y.
Yeah.
D-I-S-C-O.
Yeah.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, yeah.
Yeah.
W-R-E-S-T-L-E-T-A-L-K.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
not to put pressure on you, Randy, but we're having a new format change.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Just 5 minutes of Super Chats in this part. So 5 minutes of Super Chats, and then we'll do all the others at the end, because a few people were also like, maybe it sort of interrupts the flow of the show, and we never put a time limit on the Super Chats in between the main discussion point and the full review. So 5 minutes now.
Go. Jobber JJ starts us off with, "Hello Ollie, I've been a patron for a few months now, watched all pay-per-view reviews, and now I've upgraded to $10. Very much enjoyed the content. Thank you."
Awesome.
$10.
Well, thank you very much.
You'll enjoy the Wrestle Ramble Ramble Club.
Ramble Club
next Friday.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
Jamie McAllister says, "My first Super Chat, defo my favorite YouTube channel."
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're our favorite person called Jamie McAllister.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's up there. He's in my top five.
Yeah. Michael Dominguez says, "Hey, wrestle friends, I don't watch WWE for fun. Now I watch to predict each of y'all's commentary and reactions. I'm getting pretty good. Texas loves y'all."
Well, yeah, but we love Corbin now. Bet you didn't see that coming.
Come on, Corbin!
Let's go, Corbs!
Tim Arndt, thank you very much for your lovely donation.
That sounded like a roll of the R, Andy.
Oh,
it's just a natural way of talking.
It's
definitely
dial
not.
Dial it back.
Thank you.
Jobber JJ says, "Do you think that the 24/7 championship will play into the wedding because Maverick did cheat to win?"
Yes. I really hope it does anyway. We'll get on to the 24/7 title change when we do the full review of the show. But I really hope they have a segment where we just see Drake Maverick getting married and R-Truth just like comes in and rolls him up down the aisle or something. That would be amazing.
The veil lift.
Yeah, I think that writes itself.
Drake gets to the altar. He pulls. He's like, wait. And he unveils the veil and it's R-Truth there.
Yeah.
And then he looks and the vicar is a referee. He's like,
yes.
Oh, no. But I don't want him to actually do that for his real wedding.
No,
I hope he gets
no.
a good, an actual wedding.
And the entire congregation is all the jobbers from like...
The undercard chased him off after. Yeah. Writes itself, yeah.
What's next? Michael Dominguez back in to say Triple H and his guys versus Shane Midcard for control of WWE.
No interest.
No,
I don't see a Shane Triple H.
Sorry, Michael. Sorry.
Though they did set it up at Survivor Series 2017, so
wow.
You know, long-term booking.
Kratos, Forgotten Son. "Today is my birthday, so I would like to give you a small gift from me today," which is his super chat. So thank you very much, Kratos.
Thank you very much.
And your wife, who are both patrons, and they are both fantastically lovely. I was boned to both of them.
That's awesome.
It's the wrong way round, though. Oh, it's my birthday. Have a gift. Yeah. But thank you, Kratos.
Well, we've already given him the birthday gift of us and the ramble. So, you know.
You're welcome.
Happy birthday also.
Pablo Hernandez says, "Hey guys, future Pledgehammer here. I'm looking to watch back through the Attitude Era with my roommate. What's a good starting point? P.S. Ollie saying Pika. I love it.
Pikachu!" I know this. It's the Raw before WrestleMania 13, and then only watch the Stone Cold Steve Austin Bret Hart match from WrestleMania 13. And that's it. That's when Raw got good back then. That's when it started to put all those characters in effect. You move away from The Undertaker, Lex Luger, or whoever it was, Sid Vicious.
Possibly.
In the main event, can't remember, in the cage. But that is widely regarded as the best place to start for Raw in the Attitude Era.
And also one of the best WrestleMania matches,
straight up. Yeah. But also the worst WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Mammoth Mitten says, "Got a free super chat, so time to show some love."
Ooh, a free super chat.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Just dishes out super chats.
Possibly, yeah. Similar to, Twitch does something similar with, if you have Amazon Prime, you get a free subscription. If you have Amazon Prime, you can just gift a subscription and the creator still gets the money for it.
Oh, so, cheers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
KJ says, "Call me crazy, but I want Dolph to win. I know that Dolph push is 5 years too late, but I want him to win and have that world title reign he deserves. He's already had one."
You're crazy.
Yeah, you are a bit crazy.
It should have been me.
It should have been not him.
It should have been me 10 years ago.
And lastly, for this 5 minute segment, we have got Jeffrey Pridemore, who says, "We don't need stomping grounds. WWE already metaphorically kicks their performers' asses and have taken some of their names."
Yes,
that's
they
good.
Have.
That's a good joke that I'm going to probably steal
for
before
news.
Sunday.
Sorry, Jeffrey, but we'll credit you.
Ah,
no, we won't.
Good.
We will.
Really
Ollie won't.
No, we came up with that.
Yeah,
we were just spitballing
Wait,
ideas.
You created that. I created that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. So thank you very much for your super chats. We'll get to the rest of them after the full SmackDown review. So SmackDown kicked off with the New Day coming out for a promo, and I know he returned last week and he did this then, but I was just overjoyed to hear Big E's this place,
wherever they were,
Los Angeles.
I don't know if they were still there. They were there last week. No, they were there for Raw. Don't know if they were there for SmackDown.
But a lovely reaction for the New Day and Kofi. They come down. They have a few jokes. Big E made a joke about now wanting the final hour of SmackDown to be Freaky Hour, and it's going to involve a slippy slide. And that's when he got cut off by Dolph Ziggler. But then I was like, I completely forgot that Raw was going to have a dirty, gritty third hour. And that was barely a month ago.
That was absurd when they first mentioned it. And I knew it would die a quick death. And it did. And they've just swept it under the rug and just hoped that nobody remembered it. But Big E's here to remind us all. No, this is what we did.
Big E is the Deadpool of WWE.
He is, yeah. Love Big E.
But then Dolph came out and he interrupted them all and he did all the usual, nothing new promo-wise. Mm-hmm. Steel cage means you can't have Big E and Xavier at ringside. Yeah. It was Xavier who stopped me becoming champion at Super Showdown. It should have been me. Should have been me.
Yep. I think the first part of this promo was actually pretty good from Dolph. Like, it wasn't anything too crazy, but it was a good, well-delivered, intense promo. Yeah. It was nice. Kofi got serious back at him, which was great. And he was like, "Hey, maybe you forgot. I started my run at Elimination Chamber. I know how brutal cage matches can be. I'm ready for Super Showdown." And I was like, cool. That's a great way to end the promo. They didn't end the promo there, though, because Dolph went back and just repeated everything he just said again, which was a bit annoying. And then they said, "Oh, and don't forget, you've got Xavier Woods tonight as well." And I was like, well, yeah, but promo should have ended like 5 minutes ago. Come on, guys, just get to the match now. But
Dolph is a really good promo.
He is.
In his emotion and, like you said, his intensity. But I just don't buy into him, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Because it's been it should have been him 10 years ago, and he's not saying anything new. However, I did like the Xavier versus Dolph match. Mm-hmm. The match itself didn't go very long, but just the fact that they're having it, and because Kofi's in a faction, you can spin off matches around the champion and not have the challenger champion match, but have that match through proxies. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm such a big fan of factions in wrestling, because you can keep storylines going, but not do the same match every single week.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, although psychologically it was a bit off because a babyface is cheating to win essentially at Super Showdown.
Yep.
That did build a Xavier Dolph match. Yeah. So that was good setup and payoff.
Yep.
I'm a fan of that.
It was very nice. Yeah, so they had a fairly standard match, the two of them. Started just after the promo they cut. And it was fairly bog standard to start with. Then Kevin Owens and wild card Sami Zayn came down to interrupt, and they attacked Kofi and Big E on the outside, which led to all four of them being ejected from ringside. So I guess they just wanted a way to get rid of Kofi and Big E. It carries on the Owens and Zayn feud with them because they're fighting at Super Showdown at Stomping Grounds. Time to go ahead and take names. So it was a nice way, I guess, just to get rid of them, equalize it so it's just Xavier Woods and Dolph Ziggler in the ring. I was okay with it. Had an ad break, and then the match got pretty good, I thought.
Yeah.
Picked up a little bit.
I'm just a big fan of Xavier Woods in general.
I'm a huge fan of Xavier Woods.
There's a moment, and this is... So he lifts Dolph above his head.
Proper gorilla press.
And Dolph isn't that much bigger than him.
No.
It's not like Cesaro picking up Braun Strowman the night before. But I would argue Xavier got a bigger pop for this here than Cesaro did for the much more objectively impressive feat of picking up Strowman.
Yeah.
And it's because Xavier has such a natural babyface aura about him that the crowd just want to believe in him and they want to cheer for him. All you have to do is give them a few things to cheer. Mm-hmm. And this is one of them. So I just thought it encapsulates Woods' appeal there, that did. And yeah, he should get his own singles stuff more. I'm not saying break him up from the New Day. I'm saying let him go on an Intercontinental title chase.
I'd love that. Yeah, absolutely love that. That gorilla press into a gutbuster looked awesome. Looked really cool. The crowd got really into it, but then Ziggler came back and hit a super kick on the apron. Xavier did a great sell, like flying off the apron, almost did like a flip, almost landing on his neck on the outside. It was great. Got him back in, hit a zigzag, stood him back up and propped him against the ropes, hit another super kick to get him the win. It's a good match. I liked it.
I really liked the finish
because yeah,
it was just the way Dolph put Xavier's hands over the ropes, like Xavier was almost trapped defensively. Like, he should have had handcuffs on. It felt like that kind of exposure. And Dolph super kicking him from that position just made it feel more brutal. And maybe, again, that's just because I'm so into Xavier as a babyface that these moves feel more affecting. But I think it's also down to Dolph there being a very good heel. And, it made it feel a bit more intense and blood feudy and the perfect drive to build Sunday's pay-per-view match.
Mm-hmm. I would still argue, though, that I still don't care for their match on Sunday. But that's more to do with the fact that I just don't buy into Ziggler at all.
Everything else has... Yeah, like this feud, there's nothing wrong with it.
Mm.
It's the last 10 years of Ziggler that's the problem.
Exactly, yeah. I would also potentially argue that this built more for a Ziggler-Woods rivalry that I want to see. I want to see them get like a proper pay-per-view match because I think they can have a really good one. I'm not really interested in seeing Kingston Ziggler again because I think I saw a record that it's the most wrestled TV singles match in WWE history. I don't really want to see it again. I watched it consistently for like 3 years, from like 2010 to 2013.
That was 5 years ago. Yeah. But, I mean, there could have been a great story there. They
could
used to wrestle over the mid-card here, and now they've worked their way up.
Yeah.
But that's not what's happened.
No, not at all.
Then we got a Raw recap of Seth taking out everyone with a chair of doom.
SmackDown continues its run as the Raw recap show.
You never get, or if you do, it's very rarely, recaps of SmackDown on Raw.
Yeah. It's really bad.
It's weird, isn't it?
SmackDown is the literal Raw replay show, even though Raw has more time to play replays from SmackDown.
Yeah.
We're back on the dark timeline again, where SmackDown just isn't as important.
But it does set up the... We're not saying don't have Raw recaps. We're just saying have SmackDown recaps or stuff worth recapping on SmackDown to do on Raw.
Yep.
This went backstage next, where it was the B team and Shelton Benjamin waiting outside Baron Corbin's office, who seemed to have his own name bar graphic as his office sign.
I don't even mind that bit. The bit I mind is Baron Corbin has an office?
I didn't mind any of it. I thought it was quite funny.
It does turn into something very funny, but it was just the first visual of them queuing up and seeing Baron Corbin's over. I was like, why does he have an office? He doesn't even have a position of power anymore.
On SmackDown.
Yeah, on SmackDown. What is happening?
Wild card. Yeah. He didn't actually appear on the show visibly.
So does that mean...
does he count as a wild card?
He was there, or it's insinuated he was there.
But the B team are very excited. They're like, this could be really big for us if we get to be the special guest referee. And Shelton Benjamin, like, I really enjoyed him here. He was just like, what are you talking about? He'll take anyone because Seth's beating everyone up with a chair. I like that Shelton was smart.
Yes.
And he wasn't, just didn't make me think everyone's idiots backstage.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of got undone later on, but we'll get to that. That's fine.
The door opens. Matt Hardy walks out, gets a huge pop because he is over.
Yeah.
Despite everything WWE have done
somehow, still over.
And brilliantly says, you're next, Shelton Benjamin. No, God damn it, I said it wrong.
You screwed up the line, Ollie.
You're next, Senor Benjamin.
That was great.
Yeah, it was a really nice touch.
Great touch.
Very cute.
Yes.
Then we got the Moment of Bliss segment that we've already talked about. Then Apollo Crews is backstage looking for Andrade. And I got accused of being pretentious and rolling my R's for Andrade. I didn't even know I was doing it.
You're not very good at rolling your R's.
Andrade. Andrade.
Yeah, your R's tend to turn into L's when you do it.
Mm. I'll just say Andrade.
Andrade.
Andrade. Oh, by the way, can we just quickly say massive condolences to Andrade because his mother and aunt have died in the last week. And so he's probably had to take a bit longer.
His aunt as well?
Yeah, his aunt died this morning, apparently. Oh, so, yes. Wow. Thoughts out to him.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate.
Well, he appeared... Well, Apollo was talking to Vega here, and then Vega's like, you're flirting with me. And he's like, I'm not flirting with you. I don't know why you wouldn't be. And Andrade just jumps out of nowhere and takes him out.
I got very excited for this one. It was great. And it did surprise me a little bit, though, when Cruz was just like, hey, you're here. Andrade can't be too far away, right? And then she was like, oh, yada yada, kind of talking on. So he knows that Andrade's got to be around somewhere. But Vega distracts him with her womanly powers or whatever it was. And then Andrade, just came out of nowhere, just hit him, slammed him into a crate. And I was like, yeah, Andrade's back. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, it'd be good to... I mean, I hope this becomes like an actual serious feud that could build into a mid-card title shot.
I'd love it.
Because, I mean, those two having proper matches could be something quite spectacular.
Absolutely.
On the pre-show.
Yeah.
And then Chad Gable is still taking notes backstage.
Why? What's it? What?
It's been 2 weeks... It could go somewhere.
Could it? Could it go somewhere?
It could also be completely dropped.
This could also be it. I have never mentioned this on any podcast before, but this is a thing that happened that I still remember to this day because it was so ridiculous, was after the Nexus broke up, the original Nexus broke up, Michael Tarver was seen backstage on his phone in repeated segments for about 3 to 4 weeks and then dropped.
Yeah.
They just saw it in random backstage segments. He was just there on his phone, just like glancing and then like texting on his phone. And I was like, ooh,
plans
leading
change
to something. Ooh, nothing.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to be this. Chad Gale was going to be there and then he won't be there.
We've got many features that are sort of ongoing on the website, you know, like all the title reigns, who's injured at the moment. Maybe we should have one that's every storyline that's been dropped.
So many.
Of 2019.
So many.
The next match was Heavy Machinery versus the B Team. And this was made by Daniel Bryan and Rowan on commentary.
They were fantastic on commentary. Well, Bryan was fantastic on commentary.
Yeah, Rowan didn't say anything.
Rowan didn't say anything, but...
So this was the build. Bryan and Rowan and Heavy Machinery's tag team title match this weekend. And yeah, Bryan was just great. He was so good because he was making fun of Heavy Machinery and saying they're rubbish, but somehow also putting them over.
It was amazing.
Like, he kept on saying, look, Heavy Machinery are amazing. They're an amazingly talented act. Look at those guys. But they don't take it seriously. I'm serious. I'm the heel. Yeah, so he's elevating everyone. That's the masterful art of wrestling promos, where you feel like you're trashing someone, but actually you're building them up.
Exactly.
So if you beat them, you look better. If they beat you, you've saved some face. It's, yeah, masterful stuff.
Yeah. I love, there's one line from Brian that he makes when they were making their entrance and they started doing the old arm wave thing that the Bushwhackers used to do. The commentators mention it and they're just like, oh, paying homage to the Bushwhackers. And Daniel Bryan was like, that's just my point. They're paying homage. Hey, were the Bushwhackers ever tag team champions? No, I don't think so. They were jokes their entire career, and that's exactly what Heavy Machinery on. I was like, that's such a...
Yeah.
It just ties everything in to be able to just trash opponents consistently, because he took it away from the Bushwhackers and just directed it straight back onto Heavy Machinery, and he was like, no, don't talk about them. Yeah. Talk about our opponents that we're having on Sunday because I need to build them up kind of thing. Directed attention straight back. Love Brian. So good.
This was more of a match to get Heavy Machinery's offense over, though, mm-hmm. Because their spots are so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mostly Otis. Otis, it started, I haven't seen him do it before, but I'm sure he has, where one of the B team are punching him, and he just starts hulking up, but hulking up by fractionally vibrating.
Yep.
So it's not the big hoo, 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 Hulk Hogan pump. It's, I'm just slightly
just
vibrating.
Just shaking, yeah.
Yeah.
And everything starts jiggling. It's great.
Yeah, it was an excellent bit of physical movement, and then, you know, he ran wild, hit the caterpillar. Heavy Machinery, and they won. Heavy Machinery just looked really good.
Yeah.
And part of that was because Brian was on commentary, making them seem that way.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just goes, it shows how important commentary is. Like, imagine if that was the caliber of commentary from the three people on that team.
It would be incredible.
Then, I love this,
mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins turned up and just hit both of the B team with the Chair of Doom,
mm-hmm.
because they were queued up outside earlier to become the special guest referee. And that's what he promised. Anyone who's in line for that special guest referee spot, I'm going to kill him with my Chair of Doom.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, he followed up on it. From out of nowhere, I guess he was a wild card? Or did
we
he just show
how
up?
These work.
Champions can go anywhere, according to Kofi, so
sure.
Maybe he isn't. Anyway, yeah, it was cool just beating both down with the chair. I guess that means he also needs to now go beat up Matt Hardy and Shelton Benjamin, but somehow I don't
Well, maybe
think
they
that's
turned it down. Maybe they turned it
they
down.
They were in the queue, though. So, and Shelton was very on board with it, with what he said. So,
maybe those are YouTube videos.
Yeah, maybe.
let's be honest. Shelton Benjamin and Matt Hardy were only there for the purpose of that one joke.
Absolutely.
That someone thawed up over the weekend. But this was an awesome surprise, and I was thinking, why does this feel so big? Why does Seth Rollins feel like such a huge star here, but on Raw, he does admittedly feel a bit tired? And it's because this is Seth's first time on SmackDown for 3 years.
It's insane. It's insane. Because we've had a couple of Kofi Kingston, or I think it's a few now, actually, appearances on Raw, because they bring the WWE champion over, but they've never had the Universal champion go over to SmackDown, where this was the first time. He just showed up out of nowhere, not announced. It wasn't there to try and, you know, bring up ratings beforehand or anything. He just showed up with his chair, and it was consistent with his character, which was really good.
I think that reveals, as well as the replays from Raw, but not SmackDown being replayed on Raw, that it just shows how little WWE think of SmackDown compared to Raw.
Yeah.
Then we got Shane McMahon arriving backstage in a limo, and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens run up to him right away, and they're like, Seth, just he's going crazy, and Kofi's just a bad person.
Yeah.
And Shane books a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Just, again, same thing as Raw, just chucking stipulations and stuff. Just be like, we can't have a normal tag match. We do that all the time. 2 out of 3 falls. Go.
It's like they've gone pin crazy. It's like, okay, we're only going to have 3 matches on this show, but how can we have 17 pins? All right, this 6-man will be an elimination. That's 5 pins.
Yep.
This will be a 5 out of 7 falls match. No, 5 out of 9.
5 out of 9?
I don't know. First to 20 falls.
First to 20, yeah.
So an Iron Man.
Yeah.
That was a bit... I just don't see... We'll come on to that later, I guess.
Yeah, we will.
But I did enjoy Sammy, who is the only guy who really properly addressed the wild card.
Yeah.
He said, look, I'm a guest here from Raw as a wild card, mm-hmm. and they're doing all this out there.
Yep.
Sammy's trying.
He's trying his best. Bless him.
Aleister Black still wants a fight.
This was a really generic promo, and it was such a come down of last week, because last week's one, you started to see something, and you were like, ooh, this is building to something. When he asked the guy to open the door for him, and he was screaming at the door, just like, please pick a fight with me. And he was really intense. You're like, this is really cool. And then this week he was like, I'm gonna have a fight with someone. And when they do, whew, it's going to be bad. It's like, oh, come on, man. Like, where's the fire? Where's the intensity you showed last week? I don't know.
Again, I want it to... I don't even want R-Truth to run in this time, like we were speaking about last week. I want him to finish, look really intense, and then...
Alistair, dinner's ready. Come downstairs.
Mom, I'm being moody in my room.
Dad, can you hear me?
But the only thing that was slightly different was a slightly red light on his face. So it wasn't just dark.
Yep. I guess that means he's angry because it's red.
Shane McMahon time, everyone. He comes down to the ring. Elias just joins him while Shane McMahon's music's playing. But Drew McIntyre gets his own music.
Because he's a wild card.
Oh, was that why? Okay.
I'm Pritcharding, but...
They go down to the ring and Shane doesn't let Greg Hamilton do the big Best in the World intro because tonight's about Drew. I've written here about time. And then Miz comes out and Miz is such a good promo. He made this okay, I thought. Sure, he introduced a video recap of the previous night, but... That was to make Shane look stupid. There was a character reason that made sense for him to introduce a video package. Mm-hmm. It was a Roman beating up Shane. And they did a few slow-mos of Shane getting speared. Mm-hmm. And Miz had a great line. I didn't know it was possible to sweat more in slow-mo.
Yeah, so that was a nice line. I think we might differ on this bit.
Do you not like it?
I hated this. Mm. I hated everything about this. This infuriated me. Because Miz and Shane aren't feuding. That feud has finished. They moved on from it. They haven't referenced it. And now there's like, oh, by the way, this feud still exists. The stuff that Miz did here was great. This was great material. And when he fired up towards the end,
that was good.
And he called him out and he said, this is my fault because at the World Cup, which is definitely still not the name of the event, he said that this is my fault because I got injured. Shane stepped in and he won and became the best in the world. So it's my fault he's on this ego trip. I started this journey, so I'm going to be the one to finish it. And I was like, that is such great material for a feud that's already finished. Like, it's Roman versus Shane. That's the feud you've got. And then you've got Roman and Drew on Sunday. It's not even like Miz is a part of this at all. It's like, why are they giving Miz all this great stuff when it doesn't build to anything? I got so mad at this. It infuriated me because I was like... He came out and he talked about Shane hogging all the airtime. I was like, well, why did you just come out and show us two video packages of Shane McMahon then? Like,
to humiliate him.
Yeah, but it's more Shane McMahon airtime. That's what he was just complaining about. I hated this so much.
I think maybe Miz got me through just because I don't mind people feuding with people when they're not in that feud. I know you say that the Miz-Shane thing's finished, but you could say that about a lot of stuff, like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They would always still feud, even if they weren't in a feud. Like, that, you know, their little three-month program's concluded. A couple of months later, they're in a six-man ladder match. It just comes down to them two, boom, 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 because there's the history there. So I didn't mind Miz coming out.
I see your point. However, I'd say you say that, they finish their feud, and 6 months later, they're in a ladder match. This is 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
Well, it follows on from last week's segment where Miz was also sort of screwed over by Shane. I think Miz doesn't actually have a storyline at all. He's on Raw. He's not even meant to be
Wild
on SmackDown.
Wildcard Miz, I guess, over here.
So his storyline is actually still involved with Shane McMahon. And it's unfortunate because Miz is better than that. Like, he deserves his own feud.
Yeah.
But really, he's just another body to put in there to build up Shane versus Roman Reigns, just like Elias is, just like Drew McIntyre is. My frustration comes from that. Mm. Right, but this is a segment I didn't have much of an issue with, particularly because I thought it came off quite good in the end because McMahon said, Well, it's going to be a tag match, not a handicap match, but it will be a handicap match because you've only got 10 seconds to find an opponent, Miz. Hmm? And who should come out from underneath the ring but R-Truth?
It was funny.
The Awesome Truth are reunited as a tag team. But then, just because he couldn't help himself, mm-hmm. Shane goes, okay, well, it's a tag team elimination match. Just more pins.
More pins. We
more
need
pins.
Em.
You
we
want
need
wrestling? You're going to get so
We've
many
got wrestling.
Pins.
We're not going to give you the same match every week. We're going to give you the same match, but with a different stipulation.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Change.
Then it went it went to a break, I think. Didn't go straight into the match.
It did.
The Iconics are walking around backstage. They walk past AOP in the corridor.
They do.
Who are a boot. They're a boot again. And then...
AOP, just quickly before we move on to the next bit. They... I think it was Akam said, I'm glad we caught him before they left, which I assume is probably in reference to Corbin, because there's lots of heels talking to Corbin about being the special guest referee. That's fine. Haven't heard Akam talk before. He has a ridiculous voice.
Oh, I couldn't understand. Yeah, it was quite mumbled.
It's worse than Lesnar's. It doesn't fit him at all. They really need to keep him quiet, because I heard his voice and I was like, I had to rewind it because I was like, please don't tell me that's his actual voice. Because then I heard it again, and I was like, ooh, no, they should not do that. It doesn't fit for a big, hulky guy like that.
That's why they need a Paul Ellering.
Yeah, they need someone, they need a manager.
Iconics kept on walking past AOP, and they run into the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, with Paige.
Paige here.
And Paige says, hey, I've just made a match in Tokyo for the Japan tour, and if Kabuki Warriors beat you, they'll get a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, that's going to shift all the tickets, isn't it? Who could care less about
My
that?
My God. I mean, this was a cute segment because Kairi Sane's in it and she looked at everything through a telescope, which was hilarious. And I love Kairi Sane. She looked at, I think it was Billie Kay to start with, just looked through the telescope and just went like, looked down at the telescope, really almost like disgusted at what she was seeing. And then when Paige mentioned the tag team title, she zoomed in on the tag titles that one of them was holding. And I was like, that's hilarious. I love Kairi Sane. Don't care about this feud. Don't care about this match.
And yeah. Paige and the Kabuki Warriors
just
doesn't
go.
Fit.
It just don't go.
It feels like a hate crime. I don't know why I'm offended, but I'm not offended by it. But it just doesn't feel right. It feels like I'm watching something from the 80s.
Yeah. It's not good.
So it came back and it was the Awesome Truth, the team that ran roughshod over WWE back in 2010, 2009?
No, it was later than that.
Well, it was The Rock's return, wasn't it?
It was. So it was in the build to WrestleMania 28, yeah. So it would have been 2011, I want to say.
Jeez, okay. Yeah, so R-Truth and The Miz had the honour of having The Rock's first match back after he left for Hollywood.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
I loved Awesome Truth.
Yeah.
I was so into them during that run.
Yeah,
so
when they were
good.
Serious.
Yeah, loved them.
Anyway, Shane is just a constant source of irritation here. He pulls Miz off the apron, and that lets Truth be eliminated by Elias almost immediately. And that sends the undercard out, and they chase Truth around. The Singh Bros, Shelton Benjamin from earlier's there, Brian Kendrick, Jack Gallagher. Those are the people I could see. Mm-hmm. And then Truth just grabs the title, runs off through the crowd.
Yeah. So, couple things. Why didn't Elias become 24/7 champ? Because there was no mention of the 24/7 rule being, like, suspended or, like, doesn't work for the match or anything like that. They had to specify before that the rule wasn't in place when Elias was champion, when the brief run he had. They said, and for this match, 24/7 rule doesn't matter. They didn't do it for this match, unless they did it during an ad break or something. But, like... He just pinned him and didn't become the champ. I was like, okay. I thought they were going to like play that up more. To be like, he just pinned the 24/7 champion. But I was like, nope, they just don't mention it.
Yeah, which makes sense why it would be an elimination match as well.
Exactly, yeah, which is a bit strange, but...
Yep, I've got no answers for you.
Sure.
It doesn't
what are the
make
rules?
Sense.
Yeah, what
it
are the
doesn't
rules?
Doesn't make sense.
And also for how smart Shelton Benjamin was being earlier with like, you know what? Corbin's going to use everyone, but that's fine. I'm going to use Corbin. I'm great. He comes out, grabs the title, and... pretends he's won it and then just kind of tries to run off with the title. It's like, that's not how it works, mate. You've got to pin him to win the title.
It's actually a game of, what is that game? It's rugby.
It's rugby.
Yeah, it's actually rugby.
Yeah.
Then strange, you had a shrink screen break and it comes back and Shane's just constantly having little pop shots at Miz behind the referee's back. But then Miz has a pretty good comeback. Like, he dodges out the way of Drew's dive into the timekeeper's area. But Miz gets to be on top of Elias, but in the end, numbers overcome him. Drew wins with a claymore.
Yeah, it was fine. I didn't care too much, mainly because Elias was in it, and I'm not very invested in Elias matches. I love the character. I love Elias. He's great.
Yeah.
And especially, like, after Raw, he just got beaten up by everyone. Just treated like a complete joke. And then in this match, we're like, oh, no, we could buy him beating The Miz. It's like, Miz was just feuding with, like, Shane McMahon had a really great match at WrestleMania, had a steel cage match at Money in the Bank. Pushing him was, like, one of the bigger upper mid-card, at the very least, for Miz. And we're supposed to buy Elias, like, facing him in a tag match? I was like, it felt a bit off for me, but...
It's a shame Miz and Elias have been sucked into that vortex of Shane, where they don't have actually any feuds. It's all about playing second to Shane.
Yeah, exactly.
And it really does damage those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Ember Moon backstage. She walks past Carmella, who's trying to find truth, which is cool. That makes it feel like a big breathing universe.
Enjoy
backstage.
That.
And then Moon walks over to Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, her tormentors for the past few weeks, by slapping Jekyll and Hyde out of her hands.
Yep.
And then breaking her switch last week.
Mm-hmm.
And Mandy and Sonya are eating donuts.
Mm-hmm. Apparently that's a thing they do on, like, Twitter. Because apparently they're, like, really good friends outside off the camera as well. And apparently they review donuts a lot. That's a thing they do. So apparently they just brought that onto the screen, I guess.
Well, that's great.
Sure.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I love donuts.
Mm.
And then Moon walks over and just starts shouting at them in the most... I don't know what word it is to describe this.
Bad.
Well, there's bad. Yeah, it's definitely bad.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of, like...
Ingenuous.
So someone... Scripted. You know, like, when someone at school is bullied and you're like, oh, that's a shame they're getting bullied.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see them about to boil over.
Yep.
And then they boil over and start shouting at the jocks, the cool kids, I'm air quoting here, who have been doing that in front of everyone. And everyone ends up laughing at them rather than the, quote, cool kids.
Yeah.
That's what this felt like.
I'm going to have a reference for the cool kids out here. There's a Vine that I remember. Vine used to exist, where there was a kid who seemingly was being bullied or whatever, and he turned around and he said, you know what? I've had enough. I don't care that you broke your elbow. And everyone was like, huh?
Think bad!
Yeah, everyone was like, huh? And then people just started laughing. It was exactly that. Mm. It just came up with a line, and you were just like, oh, I wish you were cool, but you're not.
Yeah.
It was a bit pants.
Which this was totally. And then she brawled with them, and the refs broke it up. And that was it.
That was another thing. The refs broke it up, sort of. They were kind of just standing there. And I mean... Ember and Sonya could have definitely still continued brawling. There was only, like, one ref or something who wasn't doing a very good job. Then they just kind of stood there and just going, like, ah, at each other. It was just like, oh, it just angry. Yeah, just so angry. It was just, it came off a bit weird. I really wish they just kind of brawled. Ember had just come over and just be like, I hate you guys. Or, I don't know, a better line than that, because that was awful. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, like, comes out with a cool line, slaps donuts, just like,
just
eats
all
them.
The donuts.
Yeah, just steals the donuts and walks off. That would have been much better. Or some of that. And then she just...
The only holes I can see... The only... I don't know. No. I was going to say assholes, but then that just sounds also quite sexual. Any holes I can see around here? You too. That's why you spitball things before you usually say them out loud.
But yeah, I really wish Ember Moon looked a lot cooler out of this, because she just looked like a nerd.
Oh, totally. And I think that's what the writing team think of, or at least that's what they're directed to portray her as.
Yeah,
thinking that will, you know, the viewers will go, oh yeah, she's our hero. But actually, you don't want your heroes to be exactly as lame as you are. Yeah. You want them to be a bit cooler. And then we got R-Truth running outside.
Mm-hmm.
And this was very good. He's got the 24/7 title. He's got his Uber there, which is driven by referee Rudy Charles. He does Uber in his spare time.
Yeah.
He's my favourite referee
he's
of
amazing.
All time. And he turns around and he goes, "Mini-me, Carmella?" And it's Drake Maverick dressed up. Drake Maverick.
Thank you.
Dressed up as Carmella. And Drake attacks him, uses the car to roll up so his legs are elevated. And then he gets in the car, commits Grand Theft Auto, steals the car, and says, "I've got a wedding. It's my wedding this weekend."
Yeah.
And drives off. And then Truth just sits there going, "Carmella didn't tell me she was getting married.
It's so good.
I'm not invited."
There were a couple of really good lines peppered in this.
Yeah.
It was really funny. It was like when Rudy Charles steps out, Truth just goes, "You're an Uber driver and a referee?" He was like so confused about it. It was great. And Drake just going, "I'm getting married," and just drives off with the car. And then Rudy Charles getting just going like, "Hey, that's my car," just like off to the side. So many like different moving parts of what it was so great. Just like, I just constant laughs throughout the whole thing. It was really funny.
And I'm really happy for Maverick because he has, like, he's a guy who's so creative and will just work and work and work and try and get over. And he's got the 205 Live general manager position. He gives that his all. He was put as the manager of AOP. He gave that his all.
Yep.
But he's given this his all, and it's actually, it's getting over to a better extent, I would argue.
Mm-hmm.
And he has probably been the creative backbone of all these 24/7 segments. He's always in there. I know Truth is the poster boy with the actual belt and has provided a lot of the comedy. But it's always Maverick in the background who's doing something. It's that, remember when he dived to try and get R-Truth and just slammed into the barricade?
Yeah.
It's always Maverick who's low-key stealing the scene.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he's got this.
Oh, it's like when they were trapped in the lift at the elevator and he was like, I'm not Hornswoggle, I'm just a very small man.
Yeah.
It's great. He just has some great lines.
So I mean, I said it yesterday in one of the Super Chat questions. I want him to hold this for a long time.
Yeah.
And the main event was Kofi and Seth versus Owens and Sami Zayn. And so this is a 2 out of 3 falls tag match. We've all seen those.
You'd be forgiven for thinking it wasn't.
Yeah. But we all know how these goes. The heels win the first fall. The baby faces have to make the comeback and get the second. And then there's a final decisive fall.
Yeah.
It started off with Kofi immediately hitting Trouble in Paradise on Sami, Seth taking out Owens on the apron, and Kofi pinning Sami to win that first fall immediately, straight into ad break.
What's the point? What's the point of the 2 out of 3 falls?
So the point would then be, look, there's no storyline or contextual reason for it to be 2 out of 3 falls, other than Shane McMahon is pin crazy now. He's bowling.
Yeah.
Is what he's doing. He's trying to get all the pins. And but structurally, just to whip the crowd into excitement, you have that, but then you get the heels win the second fall by cheating. And then you have some drama at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happened.
No.
KO and Sami also lost the second fall.
Yeah.
Look, Kofi and Seth are the champions. They've been booked very strong. They've both got the big matches this weekend. They should be booked strong.
Mm-hmm.
But this is at a stupid detriment of Owens and Zayn.
Yeah.
Who are big time guys.
And there's no need for them to take this much backlash off it, because you could have just not done a 2 out of 3 falls match and just have them take one fall and they look so much better for it. But to not even be able to get one fall over Rollins or Kingston, they look terrible. They look rubbish coming out of this.
Yeah.
It looked really bad. And unfortunately, I didn't even think they would win a fall. As soon as Kofi hit that first Trouble in Paradise and it went straight to an ad break, I was like, so it's just a normal tag match. They've just put a fancy tagline on it. As soon as they came back from the ad break, the bell rang, and I was like, right, so this is just a normal tag match now. They've just done the first fall to get it out of the way, to like just have a fall for no reason. And I was like, and now it's just a normal main event tag match. They just wanted to make it feel different by calling it 2 out of 3 falls. And then that was it. And then that's exactly what happened. It was a normal tag match. Quite uneventful, I'd say. in terms of the actual in-ring action, I didn't rate it that high.
The finishing sequence was really good.
Finishing sequence was great.
Loads of reversals between Owens and Seth. Mm-hmm. The stuff on the outside where Kofi just dived over the staircase to take out Sammy. Mm-hmm. That was like the finish was really good. The finishing sequence of wrestling. It's just the result was bafflingly harmful.
It was so weird. I did not understand this at all. Yeah, did not rate it at all. And like for four talents the caliber of Kofi Kingston, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn, to have like a fine match, it's almost a bad match for them because I know they're capable of so much more. And obviously that's not exactly their fault because it's the way the agents book matches and stuff. But like you said, the finishing sequence was really good. Enjoyed that. But the rest of the match, I was like, I'm kind of bored, honestly. Like,
okay.
I didn't rate this at all because it's the same kind of stuff we've seen from Kofi and Seth and Kevin and Sammy for ages now. It's just very samey.
The only other thing of note for this match was that Paul Heyman was shown watching from backstage.
Wildcard Paul Heyman?
I don't know, actually. he's watching on the monitor. He's shown just after the ad break and then just again before the end of the show. So I guess WWE sat back and thought, maybe a special guest referee isn't an engaging hook to sell an entire pay-per-view on.
Mm.
So let's also chuck in the will Brock Lesnar cash in tease as well.
Yeah.
Which would be okay if we hadn't just had that for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
With a rubbish ending with the Super Showdown stuff. Or not ending, but the last installment. So yeah, overall I would give this episode a high 2 out of 5. 2.5 out of 5.
I gave it a SmackDowner.
Is that the bottom one?
No, that's 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
I thought there were a couple of really cool segments in this. The Drake Maverick title win, the Moment of Bliss was fun. The in-ring stuff was fine. It wasn't actively damaging apart from the Owens and Zayn stuff that we spoke about. But I really enjoyed the Ziggler Woods second half of that match. I thought was really good. But the rest of it, I was just kind of bored. There was not much else redeeming on this show, I'd say. I think what dragged my rating down a little bit lower as well was the fact that this is a go-home show.
Yeah, for Stomping Grounds. God, I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
It's a go-home show for Stomping Grounds. Yeah. And like, I came to the end of the show and I was like, I don't care for Sunday at all. Mm. They just had a normal ending with Rollins and Kofi both holding up their titles. And I was like, what's the angle for Sunday? Yeah. And it was like, the commentators were trying to
put
it over.
It's Paul Heyman.
Yeah. And the commentators were trying to put it over, just be like, have we just seen the fate of Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin? It's like, I don't care. Like, you're really trying, but I just don't care. And he was like, I think it was Todd Phillips came in and said, oh, this is an all-important momentum-building match. It's like, oh, you're trying your hardest, but please stop. Like,
you want the momentum.
Oh, God, it was...
That's why Marty does the spin around before he locks in the chicken wing. It's
exactly,
all about the
talk. All about the momentum, yeah.
So let's get to your super chats with Randy Andy Datsun.
Yes, let's. And Pete, people are very upset with how negative you've been today.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning. I could not get back to sleep. And I watched this at about 4:30.
I mean,
very sleep deprived.
You also
very
had
upset,
to watch both Raw and SmackDown. Like, and review them both. So, I mean, you just kind of, like, twice.
It will grind you
twice
down.
In 2 weeks.
It's true. It's true.
It's okay. Yeah, Luke's back on Monday.
I don't often do this.
Hey, we got Stomping Ground on Monday.
Oh, God, I need to watch Stomping Grounds. Anyway.
You were always going to, weren't you?
Yeah.
Jeffrey doesn't want credit for the joke. You're more than welcome
okay.
to take it.
I wasn't going to give it to him.
I told you.
And people are suggesting that we should have Bailey Sting versus Llama Luke.
Luke would be into
and
it.
A lot of people suggesting that doesn't really look like Luke is riding a llama. It looks like Luke's doing something else to a llama.
Oh, come on, internet. The tail's there.
Get your mind out
and
the
lastly,
gutter.
He's not a whale.
It was announced, apparently, quite clearly that the 24/7 rule was suspended for the match.
Really?
Oh, I missed that.
Was it on commentary or did
they
announce
apparently.
It? Oh, on commentary.
Yeah,
that's probably why I missed
said
it.
Yeah. But we shall start with our second batch of Super Chats with Ryan B. Bad, who says, do you think the Bailey and Alexa shoot promo was influenced by Cody's comments about Bailey? I don't know what he told.
Oh, I don't know what he
said. I don't know what he said about Bailey. No, I haven't seen anything about that.
Speaking of which, everyone stop being so unusual about Bailey.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be
please
great.
Spelling her name wrong.
No, just
we don't need to get into it.
Yeah,
no,
you know. That's fine.
Crazy Lewis says Luke and Alama. It is Luke on
Alama. There he is. Here they're in Peru, Luke, apparently.
That is actually one of Luke's holiday snaps he sent
yeah
to us.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No
shot. Tomo says, love that
Tomo
background picture, guys. Snake Lord says, feeling sad that they are advertising Ziggler and Kofi for the Oz show in October. There is no Oz show in October, is
yeah
there?
They, they've yeah got a house show tour. It's not a, it's oh, not okay a pay-per-view or anything.
Well, so the card subject to change. They've also, they're also doing it for whatever the September show is.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't read too
yeah
much.
Yeah, I wouldn't
into
put
that
any stock in it because card subject to change. Also, it's a house show tour, so
doesn't matter.
They could have anyone on yeah it. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah. The Brahma Bull Rockberto says, sup, fellas, stop rolling your R's, Randy. Ha ha.
You just did it, though.
Did I? Kevin says, we will get special footage of Drake Maverick wedding where the bride will be R-Truth in disguise, who will mm-hmm pin him on his wedding day. That's what we
yeah
suggested.
Yeah, that would be great.
On,
yeah.
Tony... Oh, you've got a Finnish surname, haven't you? Tony Pentikainen.
Oof.
Says, should WWE give Woken Matt Hardy another try?
I think it's past it. Unfortunately, I think they've killed that gimmick. Well done, WWE. Mm-hmm. The only thing that would revive it is him leaving, going to AEW, being with the Young Bucks. I think.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's the only way to do it. No, WWE can't do it. Someone else could, maybe.
I think it might actually be Pentakane. And anyway, Fergal McClement says WWE is a joke. What's your what are your favorite jokes? Mine is why did the washing machine laugh? It was taking the piss out of the knickers.
Nice.
It's a good one. Favorite. I don't have a favorite joke.
The one that jumps to mind is a horribly gross one from Gilbert Gottfried. I can't even say. I can't even remotely say it.
No, I can't say the one I'm thinking of either.
So yeah, we'll have to. We might tell them on Ramble Club. Patreon exclusive.
There's a plug for Patreon.
After dark one where we get drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean Dunn. He's written this, so I have to roll an R.
You don't have to roll an R. Do it without rolling an R.
Randy, you guys are awesome. These are like eight R's.
No, that's
yeah, that's
just
fine.
Randy.
Moin Carnib says, what are your thoughts on having the big five pay-per-views only per year along with the two international shows? Do you think it'll benefit Raw and SmackDown? So I suppose no B shows.
Yeah. No B shows.
Back how it used to be.
Yeah. I mean, it would make them a lot less money. Well, in supposedly on paper, it would make them less money, but it would make for a better product in theory.
Mm. I like blow off shows every month, 2 months.
Mm.
So I'm quite a fan of the 12 events a year.
Yeah.
I'd drop the international shows if anything.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Rich Hardesty says Nikki's expressions throughout were great too.
Oh, in the. Yeah, it's just I can't really enjoy her because her character has just been completely betrayed.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
Not her fault. It's the way she's been booked.
I did not even notice her because I was too into what Bliss and Bailey were saying. I was just kind of focused on them.
Seagold V says Pete is genuinely my new favorite.
Ooh.
Pay him more.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll look into it.
Yeah, thanks.
Danny, your boy DeVito says Bailey heel turn and then.
No, don't say it.
Bailey Sting.
Yeah. Nathaniel Davies, thank you very much for your generous donation.
Thank you.
Zach Lindner says by the time Luke returns, WWE is going to be crap again.
Again?
Has it got better?
I guess Raw was,
comparatively fine.
Better than it has been.
Raw was average.
I can't wait to catch him up. He's going to be like, so what happened? I'll be like, so Shane McMahon's gone pin crazy and there are about 50 pins a week on TV. He's like, what? So there's 50 matches? No, there's 4 matches. Everyone's pinning everyone.
No, he'll come back and be like, what did I miss? He'd be like, nothing.
Yep, that as well.
He'll come back with his favourite Peruvian wrestler, who he's like, oh, they should really sign him. He's just watching the local show.
The Llama.
Yeah. Mm. Jobber JJ says, Ollie, you are welcome. Looking forward to Ramble Club.
Cool.
Me too.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Recording
that
it is
next
always
Friday.
A blast.
Can I be in it? It's my birthday on the Sunday.
It depends how many mics. You're usually in it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
RJ Kalmarin says nothing, but thank you very much for your donation, as does Griff 1988.
Thank you very much.
Wesley Martinez says, will the mid-card Vortex and the Omnichain consume Bray Wyatt? Imagine a Corbin and Wyatt tag champ run. It screams ratings. Brackets, totally kidding.
I can see that happening in 6 months. But not in the 2 months after Bray Wyatt's re-debuted. I think they'll give it a go, botch it, and then, yeah, that will happen.
Yeah, yeah, sounds about right.
Tim Arndt says, roll these R's, Randy. Don't let them hold you back.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I didn't. Cesar Vasquez says, nothing, but thank you very much for your donation.
Thank you.
Go Soup says, quick shout out to Sir Datsun for being so helpful with my Dominion prediction. So take my money and give me merch. P.S. Pete, who will be the next Bond? So basically, he did submit his predictions, but for whatever reason, he actually like screenshotted them all for me as well. But for whatever reason, it didn't count. So I helped him out and put them in anyway.
Nice.
If that does happen, by the way, to anyone, do let me know because I can always fix it.
When will the Stomping Grounds?
The Stomping Grounds prediction will be going up after this, in fact.
Ooh, sweet.
Now that SmackDown's over, although they probably will have three more matches.
Which, by the way, we're talking about the predictions for Wrestle League, which you can get if you are a pledge hammer on Patreon, and you can vie for the title of the Wrestle League trophy emoji trophy, as modeled by Ollie here. Currently belongs to Laurie Blake in our office, but if you finish first overall for each season, you get sent one. This season runs from WrestleMania to SummerSlam, so if you want to get involved, $5 pledge hammer or above.
And currently on top of the fans leaderboard is James G. So he's the man to catch.
Just one leader?
Well, I am, but...
That doesn't count.
No, exactly. So the fan leaderboard, I believe, yes, he is.
It's just you and James G.
He's the only number one apart from you. Because usually we've got like five number
ones.
Yeah,
normally you have like five or six.
I mean, I'll tell you in a second after I've done it. I've got very good Wi-Fi here, so I'm... Uh-huh. But I will
also
load.
Also, next Bond, quickly.
Next Bond. I'd love to see Idris Elba. I think he'd be great.
Cool.
Nice. Angel Perez says, it should have been me, merchandise, please.
It should have been me, merchandise.
I think he wants merchandise.
Sure.
We'll get right on that.
Yeah.
Before we've sorted out our own merch stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Paul Acosta says, Dolph versus NSYNC, who's it going to be on a poll match?
That's quite a good one.
I don't get
it. NSYNC did a song, Who's It Gonna Be? And then Dolph is like, it's gonna be me. With
right. I've got
it. So they're vying for the title.
Cool. That's cool. I totally got it first time.
Yeah.
Jobber JJ says, Ollie, I would love to watch Money in the Bank 2012 with you. Can I?
2012?
That's a weird request.
2012? What happened at 2012?
I don't know.
2011. Sorry, 2011.
Oh, 2011.
Oh, that makes so much more sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It does make more sense. You're right.
I get drunk on about a bi-monthly basis and watch it, so you can come round.
I must apologise. It is Eric Cumminale at the top of the fans leaderboard. So he's on 45, James G is on 44, and Mr. Booth, and one of my favourite names, Chris Brimstone, are also on 44, and then Brimstone. Ollie over there with a bunch of other people is on 43, but I am top with 48.
Jesus.
What was the next one? Paul Acosta says, everyone at WrestleTalk, beware of the Omni-Ollie.
Ooh. Perfect.
Jared Thomas says, how is Dolph's superkick more powerful than others?
It's just the way you perfect a move.
Yeah.
I wish they made more of this. Like, a guy's finisher should be really effective because that's them doing it. But when mm-hmm. someone else does it, they haven't spent their whole careers perfecting it.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah. like when Stone Cold and The Rock, if one of them did the other person's finisher, I don't think they ever won off someone else's finisher. If that's probably
and like when
probably Randy happened.
And John Cena were doing their each other's moves.
Yeah, exactly. It's never quite as effective because it's not their move, you know.
R.J. Kalmarin says, Drake Maverick is the MVP on SmackDown this week.
Yeah, agreed on that one. Yeah. Or Alexa Bliss.
That Alexa Bliss, yeah, I'd say.
Harmaxium says, is the Deep Six a Baron Manhood reference? I hope not. Well, I'm sure if I've...
What is it a reference to?
I have no idea.
What does Deep Six... I've never thought, what does Deep Six mean?
I know.
But now I'm not going to be able to unhear that.
There's a lot of moves where I'm just like, what does that even mean? Yeah.
Well,
now we got
send them in.
Yeah, we got.
Oh no, that was a poor choice. All right.
Ruben George says supporting WrestleTalk. Also looking forward. Looking for an Ollie Davis issued nickname for myself. Keep up the great work.
What's the name? Ruben George.
Well, George.
It's Jorge, right?
Jorge.
You don't have to roll your R for that. I just did it without it.
George Jorge. George.
No, Ruben Jorge.
Ruben
the Asda man. Ruben Jorge. Because George is a brand of clothing that
with a name
you can
like
get
that,
from a supermarket.
Probably not,
not from the UK.
From Asda.
So I don't know.
Sorry, Ruben,
Asda
that
is.
Was very poor. William Adams says, I have a theory that Black is trapped in the same vortex room as Mojo Rawley was for
ooh,
months.
Ooh, yeah, just next to him.
Any
Mojo's
second
on
now,
a mirror.
Black can have a bit of paint on his eye.
Yeah.
They're a tag
team. They'll form a tag team. Ah, oh, it writes itself.
Yeah. Black Mojo. That's
nope.
a good name. William
sounds like a blaxploitation movie from the 70s.
John Marth says, Ollie seemed a bit irked at my E3 question last week. Didn't think there'd be so many potential Screenstalker plug opportunities before it. Sorry.
Which one?
Hmm?
There was an E3 question last week?
Oh, maybe.
Would it have been favorite E3 announcement or like?
It might have said that,
remember.
And you were like, "Hey, go to Screenstalker," and he thought you were angry about it.
He
wouldn't
was.
Stop probably, going on about it.
I think it was probably me plugging it, and then you were like, "Yeah, let's talk about wrestling or something like that." I don't know. Yeah.
Jared Thomas says, "Did WWE ban KO's pop-up powerbomb?"
No, not at all.
They just changed it to a stunner to get him over as a face and then turned him heel.
Yeah. Danny Boy DeVito says, would EC3 make a good AOP manager?
No. You're just saying that because they've got three letters or three characters in their name.
I mean, he's a good promo, so I think he could probably do managerial stuff well, but he's a wrestler.
You know earlier when you were having a go at Akam's voice? I was like, is Pete having a go at the one who's Romanian? Because you know, Rezar is Romanian and Akam's Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, it was good English though. It was really fluent English.
I forgot which one was which, and I was thinking, oh my, is he having a go at the one who's not a native speaker?
I'm not saying his English was bad or
not
anything.
Not English.
I'm just saying his voice was.
Yeah.
Didn't really suit a big, hulking man.
Marcus Roman says, I think Teddy Long has been lurking around the building because there's so many tag team matches on this show. Holla, holla, player.
Potentially, but it's all about them pins.
Yeah, I know.
That was never Teddy's game.
Nope. It was always a tag team match or a one-on-one with The Undertaker. That was his thing.
John DiPietro, Randy Datson's number two fan, says, why are people mad at Pete? He is the NXT of WrestleTalk.
Developmental.
The NXT of WrestleTalk.
Developmental, but generally better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, we'll go with it. That's a lofty title.
Nate dropped surname. Solid job on commentary, Pete. I think this is when people started coming to your aid. Everyone was getting
so angry. People were trashing me in
thumbs
the
up emoji. Arcast Omega says, keep up the good work. Great recaps. Nate Robison, there is a ready-made story that can be the most compelling thing WWE has ever done. Just sitting there, Triple H versus Vince for the company. Thoughts? We've talked about this so many times.
Yeah. It's just...
It's not compelling.
It's, yeah.
No one, unless you are the most casual of casual fans, would ever buy that storyline. Because you know that Vince is in charge.
It could be good, but I don't think the answer is more McMahon's stuff now.
And five more. Seth says, can't watch live, but here's some dollar for my B-Day. We've had a lot of birthdays.
We have.
Or maybe he's saying it's for his B-Day.
Yeah.
Could be.
Could be one
from
of the
B-Day.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Seth.
Happy birthday.
Fly Guy GBG says, WWE is garbage, unfortunately. But hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah.
And yes,
hi, fly
sometimes
by.
It can
fly
be.
Guy.
Want it to be better, though.
Kyle Friedland says, are AEW making Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus a tag team?
I don't know why they would. Has that been teased on BTE?
They've always been carrying around him on his shoulders like everywhere they go.
They could work quite well together, yeah, a high flyer and a guy that big.
I feel like they're... I feel like I read somewhere that they were like a tag team beforehand somewhere, but I might be completely talking out of
your beard.
My beard, yes.
They can't set in the Stone Cold podcast that the tag team tournament's going to be a huge part of the first weeks of TV. So, yeah, maybe they need more tag teams to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Two more. The Adnap 2 says the tagline for the WrestleTalk dirt sheet should be, time to take S word for poop and wipe ass.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
It's about a podcast discussion on toilet practices.
Yeah.
And the dirt sheets, it's called.
Yes. Our last one is from Rocky Balboa, who says, how you been, Ollie,
Stop
Pete,
it.
And Randy Andy?
Why would you...
Terrible now. Terrible. Well, thank you all so much for your super chats.
Sorry, I managed to find in the interim the follow-up email from Blake Ham, which I swear I read out, but apparently I didn't.
Maybe my memory's at fault.
Yeah, or maybe I read it out on the NXT.
Yeah, could have done.
Why would I have done that? I don't know. Anyway, another email from Blake Ham.
God damn you, Blake Ham.
I know.
But a recap so far.
Oh, yeah, we should probably recap this.
Yeah, we don't have WWE's video... package editing department.
No.
Blake Ham emailed in for a WrestleTalk Get Better because he wanted to lose some weight, I believe, or start going to the gym and get back in shape. And we were like, oh man, that sounds tough, but at least you've got an awesome name, Blake Ham.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And then he carried on saying, yeah, because I'm only I'm 20. I'm like, well, that's,
loads of time.
Loads of time. And then he's like, it's tough because I'm trying to study for my law degree and this, and I've got this wife and my third child on the way or something. Mm-hmm. He sent us a picture and it's like the most perfect family with a beautiful wife and three beautiful children. And Blake Ham does already look in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's called Blake Ham. So we said, this is just the big humble brag, Blake Ham. It's a humble ham.
Yeah.
And now that's been added to the welcomes. Mm-hmm. Hello to all of us, not to Randy Andy Datson. And screw you, Blake Ham.
Exactly, yeah. So,
but it's all men in nice jest.
So this is a follow-up, because he sent a brief one just saying, is my new gimmick Matt Hardy V1?
Mm-hmm.
In which case I've got lots of facts about Blake Ham, and I believe you said, send in all the facts.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a follow-up from Blake Ham, who says, fun fact, Blake graduated high school when he was 16 years old.
Is that early?
High school was 18.
Are you kidding me?
High school should be 18, I'm pretty certain.
Are these shoot facts?
These are shoot facts from Blake Ham.
So high school is 16 to 18 years old?
Yes.
So Blake Ham could have gone to university or college.
College?
At the 16. Age of 16.
Mental. Nothing you guys said was remotely offensive, so bring on the heat, you pieces of crap. Also, he said the day
I'm going to turn you into honey roasted ham, Blake.
Your name's Blake Ham. We'll get ready for pork chop.
Yes.
That's a quote from Toy Story. Also, the day you read out my email was my 21st birthday, so now I'm 21 and amazing.
You're nearly dead, Blake Ham.
Yeah, it's just
so
old.
That's what's take away from that.
So he said in the last email that his last name isn't actually Ham anymore, but it used to be.
Oh, now, yeah, convoluted story, he said.
It's not very funny. It's a bit dark, actually, but We'll go with it. So the story behind my last name is that I didn't meet my dad until my senior year of high school. He left after he kidnapped me when I was 4, is what he says.
Oh, I was just about to make a joke. Yeah, so no, that's good that I didn't get a chance to do that.
So he said, so legally, my last name was McMullen, which was his last name, but I didn't associate with him, so I used my mum's last name, which was Ham. Then she divorced and remarried, so I was also no longer associated with Ham, so I went back to being McMullen. I've considered changing my last name to Marshall, which is his middle name, but with the amount of paperwork involved, I just decided to stick with McMullen.
Or Ham.
Or Ham. Look, go with Ham.
Ham's a good name. I think I've said this before. My entire family, my mum, my dad, my sister, and me, have got consensus that one day we're going to change our name to Zhivago's.
Yes, you told me this before.
It's amazing. Actually the name of our WhatsApp group, the Zhivago's. So we'll all be the Zhivago's. Popping around the Zhivago's for a cup of tea.
There's not much else for me. He just says, much love, Blake from Texas.
Okay, so I want some more facts. Yeah. I also want to know if that's a genuine fact, because you could just do Matt Hardy, because those V1 facts were, the joke was, they were obviously not true.
Yeah, exactly.
And really over the top. Like Chuck Norris can divide by zero, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is funny, and make that your gimmick if so. Or tell us if these are real.
Yeah, please do let us know if it's real, because that lets us know whether we can make jokes about them or not. And that would be good to know, so we don't offend anybody.
Graduated at 16. It's
got 2 years. That would be insane. If that one's true, that would be nuts.
I've got a friend who was moved up 1 year, but in reality, it was a month. Like, he's born in September. Mm. So, and you know, school year cut off is end of August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. We've got another email from Sam, who emails in to say to Luke, Ollie, Chopper Pete, housemate Simon, but not Randy Andy or Blake Ham, stop being so cool, Blake. In my opinion, the brand split needs to separate the brands as much as possible by giving each show their own pay-per-views, but rather than having one every 2 weeks, have them spread out over 2 months, e.g. Raw in January, SmackDown in February, Raw in March, etc. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks, guys. Leicester's biggest WrestleTalk fan, Sam from Leicester. P.S. I will become a pledge hammer once I return from my holiday to Skeg Vegas. It's S-K-E-G Vegas. No idea. High five emoji. Love heart emoji. Never mind. That's from a different email.
The emojis have slipped in.
Yeah, I just was going to start reading a different email.
Emojis in Sam from Leicester's mouth.
No, the emojis are his. Oh. There was another line that I was about to read from a different email.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, so that was originally the plan, wasn't it?
Yes.
The only problem with that, I totally agree with everything you've said, is you've then got 8 weeks between pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. And while that shouldn't be a problem, like that's how WWE used to operate in the 90s. They didn't always have a monthly pay-per-view. You'd have a few a year, and they were the big ones, and they felt all the more special for it. It's when they changed the model to include the in-your-house shows, which eventually just became their own pay-per-views after that. And, so 8 weeks could work, but WWE aren't good enough to plot 8 weeks of TV without a payoff. Mm-hmm. And you just get stuck with this really boring middle part. So in theory, I totally agree with you, Sam.
Yeah.
And probably looking at the landscape today, I still agree with you, even though in practice, I know it won't work.
Yeah.
But in practice, it will work better than all the stuff that isn't working at the moment.
That's true, I think on paper, it makes so much more sense to give them more time to build stories, because everything right now feels rushed and unimportant, because we have show after show after show and no one cares about any of it, because we just get rematches because they can't come up with anything new. But like, they have the capability, if they wanted to write 8 weeks of television. Triple H just did it for NXT. Yeah. They just recorded 8 episodes worth to take them all the way up to TakeOver Toronto. 8 weeks... that's only 8 hours and not a lot. 16 hours for SmackDown and 24 hours for Raw. Granted, it's not as many, but they still planned it, and that was in a week. From TakeOver 25, they just planned out 8 weeks of television. It's possible to do it if they wanted to. They just don't want to because they react week on week to what works and what doesn't, which, again, on paper, is a good thing, but it never works out that way because they don't know how to judge what's good and what's bad because they base it off a week-to-week reaction and not a long-term reaction. So, again, on paper, yes, I agree, won't work in practice because that's not the way they operate, unfortunately. I think that's actually all the time we've got for emails for this week. Sorry they were a bit thin on the ground, but we had a few tangents.
But this was a full 10-minute intro and outro.
Full intro and outro for the first time since Luke's left. Got a full intro and outro. But thank you guys very much for listening to the Wrestle Ramble this week. Laurie and I will be back tomorrow for the NXT Ramble, and then Ollie and I back again on Saturday for the Weekend Ramble.
Come on, you got this.
I'm not going to say it this time.
You've got it.
Do you want me to do my catchphrase?
Something chopper-based.
Oh, something chopper-based. Oh, God.
Get to the chopper.
No. That's awful. That's terrible.
Do you know that's a reference?
Yes, of course I know that's a reference.
Well, you didn't know what The Omen was earlier. Well, so.
Yeah, that's on an entirely different recording. Mm-hmm. But thank you guys for listening, and we'll... No.
Chop you later.
yeah, I was going to say, we'll chop you later, but that's not even close. See you guys later. Thanks
chop
for listening.
Chop you later.
Thanks.
I've been Pete Quinnell. This is Ollie Davis. And chop you later.
Chop you later.
Chop you later.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.